Desmond didn't need Henry Wu anymore.
"That should be fine," Hammond said, speaking into the phone.
He listened for a while and smiled at Wu.
"Fine. Yes, fine."
He hung up.
"Where were we, Henry?"
"We were talking about Phase 2," Wu said.
"Oh, yes. We've gone over some of this before, Henry."
"I know, but you don't realize..."
"Excuse me, Henry," Hammond said with an edge of impatience in his voice. "I do realize. And I must tell you frankly, Henry, I see no reason to improve upon reality. Every change we've made in the genome has been forced on us by law or necessity. We may make other changes in the future to resist disease or for other reasons, but I don't think we should improve upon reality just because we think it's better that way. We have real dinosaurs out there now. That's what people want to see, and that's what they should see. That's our obligation, Henry. That's honest, Henry."
And smiling, Hammond opened the door for him to leave. Control. Grant looked at all the computer monitors in the darkened control room, feeling irritable. Grant didn't like computers. He knew that this made him old-fashioned, dated as a researcher, but he didn't care. Some of the kids who worked for him had a real feeling for computers, an intuition. Grant never felt that. He found computers to be alien, mystifying machines. Even the fundamental distinction between an operating system and an application left him confused and disheartened, literally lost in a foreign geography he didn't begin to comprehend. But he noticed that Gennaro was perfectly comfortable, and Malcolm seemed to be in his element, making little sniffing sounds like a bloodhound on a trail.
"You want to know about control mechanisms?"
John Arnold said, turning in his chair in the control room. The head engineer was a thin, tense, chain-smoking man of 45. He squinted at the others in the room.
"We have unbelievable control mechanisms," Arnold said, and lit another cigarette. "For example," Gennaro said. "For example, animal tracking."
Arnold pressed a button on his console, and the vertical glass map lit up with a pattern of jagged blue lines.
"That's our juvenile T-Rex, the little Rex. All his movements within the park over the last 24 hours.
Arnold pressed the button again.
"Previous 24. And again, previous 24.
The lines on the map became densely overlaid, a child's scribble. But the scribble was localized in a single area, near the southeast side of the lagoon.
"You get a sense of his home range over time," Arnold said. "He's young, so he stays close to the water. And he stays away from the big adult Rex. You put up the big Rex and the little Rex, and you'll see their paths never cross."
"Where is the big Rex right now?" Gennaro asked. Arnold pushed another button. The map cleared, and a single glowing spot with a code number appeared in the fields northwest of the lagoon.
"He's right there."
"And the little Rex?"
"Hell, I'll show you every animal in the park," Arnold said.
The map began to light up like a Christmas tree, dozens of spots of light, each tagged with a code number.
"That's 238 animals as of this minute."
"How accurate?"
"Within 5 feet."
Arnold puffed on the cigarette.
"Let's put it this way. You drive out in a vehicle, and you'll find the animals right there, exactly as they're shown on the map."
"How often is this updated?"
"Every 30 seconds.
"Pretty impressive," Gennaro said. "How's it done?"
"We have motion sensors all around the park," Arnold said. "Most of them hardwired, some radio telemetered. Of course, motion sensors won't usually tell..."